When you travel to the Holy Land, you begin to appreciate just how much we get the location of Jesus' birth all wrong. For most of us, we've watched far too many pageants with far too many grumpy innkeepers. And it has calcified for us some ideas about what that fateful night in Bethlehem must have really been like. Ideas that are probably not terribly correct historically and may actually be preventing us from grasping some of the deeper truth of the incarnation of the Son of God. It all begins with that famous line from Luke's Gospel that we just heard tonight, and they laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. In the immortal words of Inigo Montoya in A Princess Bride, I do not think it means what we think it means. The word inn means something very particular to most of us in our modern age, but it meant something quite different entirely at the time of Jesus' birth. Mary and Joseph, they didn't cruise Bethlehem town looking for La Quintas and Best Westerns until they finally found a sympathetic Holiday Inn manager who was willing to offer them the barn out back. Notice that the story doesn't say anything about a barn at all, does it? Though popular lore has placed the story there, doesn't it? Actually, in the Eastern Orthodox Church, Jesus is believed to have been born in a cave. If you've ever been to Bethlehem yourself and descended down those holy steps into the grotto below the Greek Orthodox Church of the Nativity, you were entering into the built-upon remnant of that very cave. Homes were often built attached to caves in ancient Palestine, what with their insulation capability and the warm summer months and the cold winter months. So it is believed by many that the Holy Family may have actually been staying in a cave for the time of the birth. Orthodox Christians actually take the story of the cave even further by proposing that Mary delivered Jesus in that cave all by herself. The way that story goes is that Joseph was off fetching help when the time for the baby to come arrived. So Mary was forced to labor and deliver all by herself. It's part of the reason why Orthodox priests celebrate the Eucharist behind a door and unseen by the congregation, because the act of bringing Jesus into existence through the mystery of the Eucharist echoes the mystery of Jesus coming among us that fateful night of his birth in Bethlehem, unaccompanied by any save his Holy Mother. Now, scholars are quite unsure about whether Mary and Joseph would have found lodging in Bethlehem in a cave, and many feel that it is an unnecessary addition to the story. As is true in most cases, the simplest answer is often the best and the most correct. And in the case of the story of the Nativity of our Lord, the simplest solution involves no stodgy innkeepers or barns or caves, for that matter, because none of these things, none of these elements are mentioned in the story itself. The word that we read in English as inn is the Greek word in the original of the Gospel of Luke, the Greek word katalima, which literally means a place to stay. In ancient Greek, there was actually a particular word for a commercial inn, the proverbial Bethlehem Best Western. But that word is pandakion, and it's not the word Luke uses here in this story. Luke uses the word katalima. You didn't know you were coming to church to get a lesson in ancient Greek. Which means that Luke probably had in mind a place to stay, like a home. Or more particularly, the extremely common guest room in the homes of that region at that time. The story implies that the guest room was full. But first century Palestinian homes at that time would also have had an additional small room attached to their house, which was where, coincidentally, the manger was located, because it is where you brought in all of your animals to feed them and to rely upon their warmth in the cold of winter. All families kept livestock in this extra room. Mary and Joseph then would most likely have been welcomed by a local family into this particular spare room. Because, and you see, this is very important, it would have been absolutely unthinkable for a Palestinian Jewish family to turn someone away, let alone a pregnant woman nearing the time of delivery. As sweetly sentimental as a barn on a lonely hillside under the stars may be for all of us, and as much as the presence of heartless innkeepers adds some enjoyable bad guys to the story, and every story is made better by the presence of a bad guy, it is not actually doing us any good to keep the story of the Nativity of our Lord buried under all of these layers of mythology. Mary and Joseph were almost certainly not rejected by inhospitable locals, but instead welcomed and given safe lodging in a local home. Joseph was not just some bumbling biblical Clark Griswold, and neither was Mary some sort of superhero forced to give birth unassisted in a cold, dark cave. Jesus most likely came into the world surrounded by caring local midwives in a spare room of an ordinary home in an ordinary place. The people of Bethlehem offered the very best they could to preserve their honor and to respect their guests, just as any person living in Bethlehem today would do. In fact, the Holy Family may well have spent their first weeks or even months with the new child, receiving the hospitality of the village, which is why when the Magi eventually arrive, according to Matthew's Gospel, it is very clear that they find the family living in a house. Now, I may have already lost a whole bunch of you with this history and linguistic lesson. Perhaps didn't know what you were getting yourselves into when you came to church this Christmas Eve. And you may be wondering what my point is. Well, here's the thing. When we imagine Christ being born out on a hillside in some sort of mythical solitary stable, we are trapping our Savior in hermetically sealed perfection. But when we realize that Mary and Joseph actually came knocking at someone's door and had to be shown somewhere safe, right into the middle of things, in and among a particular community, a particular home, a particular family, well, that means that we have to answer the knock on our door too and make space in the midst of our lives, in the middle of everything that we know, in places that we can't avoid either. Let every heart prepare him room, we will sing in just a little bit in one of our most beloved carols. Every heart, yes, and every personal calendar, and every to-do list, and every bank account. Because the story of the Nativity is not simply about something God did in a place long ago and far away, but also about what we do in response today. How we welcome Christ into the world, into our own homes, and into the closest intimacy of our own lives, so that He can actually be Emmanuel, God with us, and do all of those extraordinary, those eternal, those life-changing things that only God can do. Things like healing and forgiving and resurrecting. This time of year, we hear an awful lot about keeping Christ in Christmas, which is certainly nice enough, I suppose. But the problem with that is that once Christmas is over, Christ can very quickly fade from our imaginations. Especially when we keep the Holy Family safely behind, in a barn behind museum glass. When you do that, there's not a lot left for you to do when the tree hits the curb. But if He and His holy parents are invited into the middle of your home, into the very middle of your life, well, you can't pack them away quite so easily after the new year. That's why our calling is to far more than keep Christ in Christmas. Our calling is keep Christ in Christians. Let's make room in our homes and in our lives beyond the day when all of the presents have finally been unwrapped and all of the malls have finally stopped playing Deck the Halls. Let's keep Him at the center of our lives tomorrow as we're gathered together with our sometimes complicated and not always altogether easy to be with families. Let's keep Him at the center of our lives the day after that or the day after that, whenever it is that we go back to work and are tempted to slip back into our old habits, our old routines. Let's keep Him at the center of our lives next week, next month. Whenever events in our lives and events in the whole world shock us out of our holiday revelry and remind us why it is that God needed to send His only Son to be our Savior in the first place. Because when we let Him get close, when we let Him inside, when we let Him inhabit the most intimate places of our lives, we finally can discover why it is that the angels sang so joyously on the night He was born. Keep Christ in Christians, in us. Because He didn't come simply to adorn the front of lovely cards, to distract us with a really nice story once a year. He certainly didn't come to inspire a consumer bonanza every December. He came to change everything about everything, to begin a revolution of mercy and love that would return our sin-sick and weary world that we see now to the peaceful and just world that it has always been intended to be. So prepare Him room, dear friends. Answer His knock. Welcome Him home. Invite Him not only into your heart, but into the heart of your life. For the love that came down at Christmas, He is coming to you too. And all of God's people said,